the boilerplate is why it was on the front page, because, again, if you look at page one under recommendations, it just says to be placed on the regular council.
All right, that's fine.
Yes, we're trying to make
for me
efficiency, and then I've got to look at the other one. And it says the same thing. That's on page 11. Okay. Well, then, thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
Done for tonight.
That's right.
So, Joe, about the recordings.
Yes.
Are we being recorded?
You're recording now. Got the recorded started a little late.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if you want to recap what you went over so it's in the record and the community can hear.
Well, for the record, we have reviewed the Department of Community Development contracts for plan review services with Reed Middleton doing primarily structural reviews, BHC doing primarily code reviews, and we have approved those contracts in committee, and it is being placed on the consent agenda at the regular council meeting, where if anyone has any other further comments, they can pull it off the consent agenda to discuss. And that's the recap.
Thank you.
Okay, so the next item is the Port of Seattle grant application. And this is Brandon and Derek. I see you both, so whoever's going to take it. Brandon.
Good evening. For the record, Brandon Miles, Business Relations Manager for the City of Sequoia. I can see you now if I minimize my screen, so I only see one person at a time. So right now it's Councilmember Horady who is on my screen. But if I maximize it, I don't see anyone. So economic development is coming to the committee tonight to get authorization from the committee to apply for a grant, which we will get if we apply for it, most likely from the Port of Seattle for their economic development program. They have run this grant for a number of years, and the awards are based upon the city's population. So we'll get just over $20,000 funding, in which we have to provide a match of 50%. Of that 50%, half can be a staff time; the other half is a cash match. What I'm excited to kind of present to you is the program that we've that we're working on developing is a program that I think will work on job training, bringing tourists back to the city following the pandemic, and small business assistance. What we would like to use the funds for is working with Tukwila youth to train them on how to do some very basic websites. Those students would then be linked with Tukwila businesses to help them get their websites up and running. We learned through the pandemic about the importance of having an online presence for businesses to be able to operate during the shutdown. This program is it would be moderated after the similar program that the City of Seattle did last year. Next, with students, we would also want to obtain better quality photos that we can use on our experience Tukwila digital platforms. The goal, again, here is to use students because we want to have an authentic Tukwila message, something that really shows the community by the people who live and who live in it. Next, as part of this program, too, a lot of businesses don't know the free tools that are available on Google and Yelp to help identify them to the community. This is owning your place on the Google and Yelp. Google has a lot of free tools that we have access to and to help get the word out to Tukwila businesses about simple things that they can do to increase their the ability to be found on Google. And next, finally, we would use the program to expand and promote more minority-owned businesses through the Experience Tukwila platforms. So I listed above the criteria and what the Port of Seattle is looking for in this grant application. I think we hit three of the criteria, and so we our cash match for this will most likely come from our lodging tax fund, which is which we already have set aside in the Experience Tukwila allocation for this year. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions, and all we're looking for tonight is a committee approver to submit the application.
All right. This time I'll start with
Brandon, when you say use students, are you talking high school students?
Yes, most likely high school students. That's what the city of Seattle did for the website program that they did, were high school students yeah.
How much are you paying them?
Well, they would get, I don't know, we're still working on those details about whether the students would get paid. They get to take the class for free, and they may even be qualified for credit at high school to take the class, so I don't know yet if they would, if there'd be a payment involved. So we're still working out that detail.
Okay. And how do you measure if the program goes through, how do you measure its success?
Well, I think the success would be the number of students that participate. We would have a cap with whoever we contract with to run this. Businesses that get put onto the website, we would like to have more, you know, up to at least 10 new businesses that have websites that are either new websites for them or enhanced websites. And then over time, we would be able to track the usage of those websites. So we would require them to link to the Experience Tukwila website so we can track people that are clicking through. And then we would also ask the businesses to report out on, with probably in a year of launching the website, the number of visits that they get to the website.
And this would only be for minority and women-owned businesses?
So we're saying small, primarily small, minority-owned, women-owned businesses. So with the emphasis being on Tukwila International Boulevard would most likely be our goal. The small business is the first requirement, and then after that, definitely, we would, if we can, focus on small and women-owned, small, minority-owned women businesses.
Okay, I yield back.
Hey, Erna.
Yeah, thank you. Well, this looks good to me. You know, I think that we have a lot of businesses in Tukwila that could really use something like this. And I think a great way to help them is by teaching, you know, the youth how to do some of these things. I mean, it's really kind of funny because I know kids like as young as 12 that can build a website. It's really crazy out there how our kids are so much more tech savvy than at least people like me. But no, I don't have a problem with this. I think it's good. So you're saying that the cash match would come from the lodging tax, and that seems appropriate to me knowing what I know about the lodging tax funds, right, Brandon?
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with submitting the application to the Board of Seattle. I think that's fine. It's fine with me. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, so I have a couple questions. My first one is that you've got the following outcomes on page 22. Partner with a nonprofit to provide for couple of use. What if that if it just doesn't work out or you don't really get what you need, do you have like pivot plans if you have to do that?
Yeah, so for example, if we can't, we've had a conversation with a couple of nonprofits about being able to do the program, this first bullet point. If this does not materialize, that's why I have four items listed here, and we'll do the same thing in our application to the Port of Seattle. We would move the funds to one of the other three items. There's a lot of work that we can do with social media with to have students help with our social media accounts, which we can build into the application.
Okay. And the helping the businesses with their Google and Yelp pages, who would be helping them specifically, or do you have a plan yet?
So ideally that would be, I think gets put into the students helping them, because that's all related to website. That's all stuff that can be part of a digital program that the students help the businesses with. If they're already going to be working with the businesses for the website, they can help with the Google and Yelp, because those actually kind of relate to one another in helping businesses be found on the internet.
So I'm just thinking that this might look a little different than what you have here. And this is, like, not negative at all. It's just that, you know, reality, we have a smaller amount of students or whatever. So when you write the grant, you'll have some flexibility to change things around or modify. That's a question.
Yes. I can always write it to be flexible or to be able to have our money move between the various categories.
Right. So, for example, if it's just not working out for the kids to help with the Google, then you could have a consultant or let the nonprofit do it, or however.
Correct. Or I could have asked the chamber to help us with it and do a small contract with the chamber to do the services. Yes.
Okay, great. You got all your bases covered then. This sounds really good to me as well. So what the committee was asked to do was to approve the submission of the application. I had nods for that. I'm nodding my head too. All right. Yeah. Then good luck with that. It sounds really, really interesting. I wish you the best with that. I hope we have some good stories to tell. Thank you. The next item on our agenda is following up on King County Health through housing presentation. So that's and we have a informational memorandum in front of us. And Rachel, would you introduce?
Good evening again, everybody. Thank you for the opportunity. I'll just real briefly cover high level of the memo, and then we'll get into the nuts and bolts of this. But this is a follow-up from the presentation that you all had on February 22nd from Leo Floor about King County's Health Through Housing Program. There were, first of all, I want to make it clear, just so that everybody's aware, on this issue of the willing city, right? So the county has committed, and the legislation moving forward in Olympia mandates that the county has to work with a willing city. And so I think that's of primary importance that we all remember. Our recommendation is that we discuss the list of questions that you all have, and thanks to the great work of Laurel, she started compiling questions that we've heard at council, questions that we've heard from the community, and questions that have been seen on social media. And so the idea was that we could use a little bit of this time to see if there are any additional questions that the committee members have. We'll populate those questions and then come back to you at the next meeting with the information that we can compile for those questions. The other kind of major policy discussion we wanted to have today is whether or not you want to automatically remove both the CBD neighborhood as well as the TIB neighborhoods from consideration. So I want to make it clear, none of this memo says that we are currently a willing city, right? We are just having the discussions about this issue. But if we are to look at kind of major policy gates, I guess I would call them, would those be ones that you would be interested in? And are there others, right? We recognize that this will be an iterative process over time. There'll be lots of discussions and obviously lots of deliberations over this, but we wanted to figure out if this made sense for you all for a place to start. And the idea is we would come back to committee and before going to full council. I would expect we'd probably be in committee for a little bit, right, as we work through some things. So very high level overview there. Really the idea here is to get your thoughts, your additional questions that either aren't listed on this list. I know we had a community member add some additional questions that were sent in today, so we will get those compiled onto the list, but are there other things that you would like to see added?
So I'd like to start fellow committee members, if this is okay with you, with the policy thing, because we've got a couple things. We've got questions. We've got the policy. So the first thing that I'd like to talk about is the paragraph that suggests that we remove TIB and the Central Business District from consideration. So let's talk about that first. Verna, Tom, do you want to, who wants to start? Either of you? Verna?
Great. Yeah, yeah. And it'll be brief. I don't think any council member would be comfortable with this on Tekoa International Boulevard, anywhere near their urban renewal zone. We've worked too long and too hard. Not that I'm saying that this has any, you know, a facility has, you know, it's a bad thing, right? I'm just saying that we've worked hard to identify that area up there at, for redevelopment and economic, you know, revitalization. So I'm fine with removing or excluding the Tekoa International Boulevard neighborhood. And I'm assuming that goes from, is it beyond the urban, are we talking beyond the urban renewal zone then, like say down light rail station, what was that direction, be north to like East Marginal?
Yeah, I think that's part of what we're looking for. I think, you know,
yeah,
anything after 136-ish, there's, yeah. I don't believe there's a property there
right
that would even qualify, but
right.
Yeah, that's part of what we're looking for, is kind of what's that zone, and my assumption has been that it's yeah. in that area, right?
Right.
So
for me, I'm fine. I am fine with saying, you know, we're not going to look at that area right there, because I think, and that was what was so disappointing and disheartening to me, to see community members jumping to that conclusion like that, like, no. You know, and I can understand the CBD as well, but I'd like to discuss that one a little bit further and see what my fellow council members have to say about that. So there you go. That's me.
Okay.
Yeah. First, CBD is the urban center?
Yes, the Central Business District.
Well, it has a few titles that we refer to it, apparently. So I wanted to be clear on that. And I would agree on TIB, no. And the CBD, maybe it would depend where. How far east does the CBD go?
Generally, all the way to the railroad tracks is how we consider it. Railroad tracks, I-5, 405, basically the southern tip of Tukwila.
Oh, it does not go north of 405.
Correct.
Okay. But I would still keep open TIB for just further discussion, not because I have anything in mind, just... But TIB, I think we have a specific vision we're trying to build towards up there, really a defined vision. That would be my initial thought. I'll yield back.
Okay, so my thoughts are, I'm looking at the paragraph on page 23, and it says, TIB neighborhood continues to be an emerging one, and ongoing planning and zoning deliberations will be coming to the council later this year. And then for the CBD, it says it's a critical economic engine for the city, and it's not a good fit. So why, could you explain that more, why it's not a good fit?
So, you know, the CBD is where most of our outside of Tukwila activities come into play, right? So it's obvious, it's a retail, entertainment, you know, restaurant hub, right? It's also where our major employment centers are. Many of the hotels in that area are, as my understanding, and I see Derek's on here and I'll have him jump in if I misspeak, but many of our hotels in that area are the extended stay, which are really are more for business type travelers, right? So that was the initial thinking. Again, staff's open to whatever you all are interested in, if you'd rather have that further conversation with the full council. we would definitely be on board with that as well.
Okay, and then the TIB, explain that. So that's an area that we have, we've got people living there, and this is people living. So what's the difference?
So, you know, we all know how much effort, time, and finances that this council has put in over the years to work with the TIB neighborhood to enhance it. And we all recognize that it's still an emerging neighborhood, right? And so we know that there's a vision for that neighborhood that we've not yet collectively achieved, but we're all working on. And we sort of we've heard the council before in other meetings, you know, talk about the importance of doing what we can in that neighborhood to continue to support it. So that's why, that's the rationale for that. I think the other thing is you have some major zoning issues coming up in the future as you look at truly what the future of that neighborhood is going to look like, right? And so whether or not you want to make those changes, put those plans in place, and then start, you know, the development of the neighborhood or the change of uses to the neighborhood, it may make more sense to wait until you've got that in hand.
Okay. So if you said that that nothing negative, this isn't a good fit. To me, saying that we don't want it up at TIB implies that there's something negative about it. I might just be, maybe this is just me, but it implies that there's something that we don't want there. So why would we want it in any other, this is rhetorical. And I'm asking this because I want to know the reasoning. Why would it be a good fit someplace else that is, if it's not a good fit in those places, what makes it a good fit someplace else? I guess that's my question. What makes it a good fit someplace else? If it's got impact, what I'm hearing is it has impact. So what are those impacts? Does that make it a good fit?
Yeah. So here's what I can answer that question, council member, is that, you know, as we discussed previously, this program is for folks who are experiencing chronic homelessness, right? This is not, as we discussed last time, right? It's not for, like many families we see in Tukwila who are couch surfing or things like that. These individuals are already our residents, right? They are currently living outside in places in Tukwila. And I realize that we can't, through this program, we can't 100% say that all of those folks inside Tukwila would go into a facility like this. But folks like are living unhoused throughout the community, be it in our borders or throughout. And so I think the question at hand is, you know, do we have an opportunity to provide housing for some of these folks? Not we provide, but they would reside in our city, right, or not. I completely agree that this is a difficult issue, right? But they are currently, folks like are currently living unhoused in our community. And I think that's ultimately the policy question that we have before us.
Part of it is also the location, because we're also taking some of our locations off the table. And so there's some, like I said, there's an assumption of impact. And I want to make sure that we've got all of that vetted before we make a decision about locations. Now, if you want to say right away, TIB's off and the Tukwila Urban Center's off, I would agree with that. Although Tom maybe is thinking differently. That doesn't, that seems logical to me, but then I think there's also further conversation that we need to have about locations. I'm not really quite sure what's left after that.
I think you have issues of adjacencies, right? You would ultimately, if the council decided that it wanted to, you know, start having discussions with the county, again, not being a willing city until you, right, approve an ILA, but adjacencies would be one, I would assume, right, that you would be interested in. Access to transit, I would assume, would be a pretty significant one, not only for you all as the council, but for the providers as well. And there may be other things, but I think we all just need to recognize that this is a tough issue. And if we want to move forward, right, I'm sure that many of the questions we won't be able to answer within the next 2 weeks. Some of these questions are going to require having some discussions with the county about it. So I think if there is interest in to continue to investigate this, that we just need to move methodically and make sure that we have questions answered to your satisfaction one way or another.
So I want to ask these questions up front so that all of a sudden at the end, I or other people aren't just tossing stuff out at the very end after we're sort of moving towards some sort of decision. So that's why you're hearing them right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we start addressing this early on, and then having answers as best as we can. So is there any other questions that my fellow council members have about the location? And are you in agreement that it would be good to start considering taking those two areas off the table? And Tom, I need you to answer that again, because you said something about TIB maybe still thinking about that area. So I'm going to start with you, Tom. Okay, we've got two. This is our first issue, two areas.
I said no on TIB,
and I
would be more open to further discussion on the urban center.
Okay.
But on TIB, does that area that we're talking about kind of end at 130th? And so north of 130th could be a yes? Or where does it end on TIB?
So we haven't drawn a map yet. I don't believe that there are any properties that are a hotel site on TIB north of there that I can think of, but all of that, we're still sort of looking for general direction here. I'm happy to come back with a map with more specificity.
Okay. Well, I mean, in our residence, in our high school, we got different schools that just border TIB or are a block or two off of TIB. So, yeah, I'm okay with taking that one off the table. But the urban center, no, I'm okay with talking about that and to see if there are options. And again, at this point, we've not committed to anywhere.
Okay. Duly noted. Verna, what do you think?
Well, and I think that what Tom just said was key is we haven't decided on anything yet. I mean, these are just all completely preliminary conversations. With that said, I do understand, you know, the Central Business District, from a transit perspective, there could be challenges. But Rachel, I was reading your legislative update today, and is this going to a vote tomorrow? Did it pass through the House, or did I get that backwards?
I can't remember which one, but this is expected it to pass. So
yeah.
Everyone is expecting that the county will get the opportunity to use those funds for this purpose.
Okay. So. Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that because I know when we had originally started talking about this, we didn't know, you know, when it would, you know, when that would go through. So that's helpful to know. You know, I still think we have a lot more questions that need to be asked. And I think a really good approach is, you know, with the comments, the questions that came in today, we've got these all compiled, then talk to the county, see how much information we can get. I don't think a lot of these questions can be answered, like you said, because everything is so preliminary. But at the end of the day, the question is whether we're a willing city or not. We're not committed to anything at this point other than discussing. So, you know, I'm fine with taking the CBD and TIB off the table and getting questions answered and seeing where we can go from there. That would be me.
Okay, thank you. And Laurel, could you tell us the status of the bill that would allow the county to use existing facilities and not have to build new?
Yes, give me a minute. I had to close some windows, so you might want to move on and come back to me on that.
Okay. So we will. So the next thing I said that maybe we might need to have a more specific conversation about questions if my fellow council members had questions or know of some sources of questions, conversation about that. And I'll start with you this time, Verna. Do you have further questions? You know, have ideas of about questions or?
No. I mean, we've heard the questions. I think the council, the night we discussed this at the council meeting, the questions that council members had were very well captured in the document that we have, and I don't have anything additional to add.
Right. Tom?
I would agree. I think we got a letter from an attorney. We got an email from Sharon Mann. We got a host of questions here. I think that's a great place to start. Let's see what discussion can come from the answers to these questions, and we can go from there.
Okay. So I did have some questions, and I'm going to just email them because they might be duplicates of what's there. But this is a sample question. If a person chooses not to participate in the services that are offered within the facility, will they still be eligible for housing? So if they have the housing, do they have to use the wraparound services if it's indicated that they have a need for those? One was, has the county notified the motel's owners regarding this program? If so, how? And Rachel, you and I have talked about that, but this way it'll be in writing, you know.
Yeah, so. And if I could take 1 minute on that.
Yeah.
The county is not having any discussions with any hotel in the city of Tukwila, full stop. I think it's important that we are all clear about that. I know that there's been questions raised about different properties, and the county is not having any discussions.
Okay, it would be really good. I'll submit that question, so we'll have that question and the answer. All right.
Yep.
A lot of these are maybe questions that maybe Rachel and I have already talked about, but I want to have them written down. What budget has been identified to sustain this program? I'm sure there's an answer for that, but I don't remember what it is off the top of my head. I have other questions. I'm just going to submit them and so that they will be with the questions. And Laurel, it looks like maybe you have an answer for us.
Yeah, so the bill passed the House and it was heard in the Senate Housing and Local Government Committee on the 10th. It's scheduled for a vote tomorrow.
Okay. So we have more, we have another resident who has submitted some more questions today. And so what my proposal is to my fellow committee members is that we take these questions and then we work them into the question and answer fact sheet. So the questions will be consolidated as necessary, and then that is the product that we'll have that we're going to be working on in the next few weeks. I mean, the next few meetings. Does that sound like something to do? Okay. So, and again, it'll be taking the questions and making sure that they're all answered in a fact sheet format, and that's why I'm asking some questions I already know the answers to so that they'll be there on that fact sheet. Is there any other comments or final comments about this? No? Okay. All right. Well, then, we've got some time then before our regular meeting. So, and I do want to make a mention because I know that there were some people that were planning to be on this call that, and they probably already know this, or people that are listening that are going to listen to this later, that at this time we're not taking comments during our committee meetings just because we don't know how long our committee meetings are going to go, and we only have 75 minutes. And so for consistency's sake, if people want to make comments, they can email them or they can give them during the regular meetings or our COWs. So I did want to say that as well for anyone listening now or later on. Okay. So, all right. Thank you so much. Anything for the good of the order? I see head shakes. All right. Thanks. I'll see you guys all in 45 minutes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.